Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Admit it, you're going to miss the old lug, aren't you?
Is it squeak? That was a squeaker. Maybe we need to bring him back. Hey, maybe it was Dr. Breidich holding this whole thing together.
I thought it was so fitting that on the day that he steps down, his prize acquisition in the Nolan Arenado deal goes out and gets bombed.
I think he went one and two-thirds, didn't he, with seven hits and nine runs or something? I don't know.
We laugh because otherwise we cry. Yep. Everyone's favorite dog to kick, Jeff Breidich, is out the door. Did you see that one coming?
I did not see him stepping down. I knew that at the end of the year his contract was up, and I knew he wouldn't be retained. But I did not just see him saying, that's it, I've had enough. And walking away from the organization. It'll be interesting to see kind of what they end up doing, the direction they end up going. That'll be an interesting kind of just watch. And I saw a tweet that you put out yesterday about it can't be. Let's hire from within and let's, you know, see what happens next. I mean, you can't be that. So it'll be interesting.
They have to go outside the organization.
Yes.
No longer trust the organization. You got to go outside the organization. And I don't know if that was such a good first step that Greg Fiesel was named club president. You have been harping on the idea that they need a club president, that they never really replaced Kelly McGregor, and that they need a club president first. But, I just hope this isn't just more of the same old, promote from within and keep the good old boy network rolling. Got to have a fresh start. Got to be willing to bring in somebody that if you're Dick Montfort, you're willing to just say, hey, I'm stepping aside. I'll run the ballpark and all that, but you have the baseball team and you have a fresh set of eyes. You have a fresh approach. Come on in, do what you see fit. We'll see. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic, but I'm also kind of cynical at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why you would be. And I think that that's probably appropriate. Kind of this kind of wait and see approach that you have to take when it comes to the Rockies, but I'm with you. I like it when people hire people and let them do the work. You know, to hire somebody and say, and not micromanage them and just say, hey man, I trust you to go do the work. And if you don't do the work, you're going to get fired. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? And then, you know, I mean, I've never liked it when an owner gets involved and says, and just says, hey, you know, let me be in control of this. Like, I've been around it long enough. No, you don't. I just am like, no. And so it'll be interesting to see. And it doesn't matter who, like, whether it's Jerry Jones. Like, Jerry Jones, I think part of the problem with Jerry Jones in Dallas is that when you take the ultimate authority, everybody knows that the person you put in authority truly isn't an authority. So then when that guy says, this is what we're going to do, you're like, well, you don't really. Yeah, okay, we'll do that. As long as it's going well, I'll do that. But when it stops going well, then I'm like, yeah, I don't really. You're not really in charge here. And, you know, there's so many rumors out there about this not being the Nolan Arenado thing not being Jeff Breidich's deal, but being Dick Monfort's trade. So I don't know. I mean, those are just the rumors that are floating around there. So we'll see.
Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider from the Denver Post, will join us at 7:45, get some more clarity on what he's learned about the rather sudden announcement of Jeff Breidich stepping down. Greg Fiesel takes over as the club president. I'm a little bit upset. I gave Richie Carney my big board of possibility selections for the draft, and when you put up all your, you were allowed, they put up all your different quarterbacks, like through multiple rounds and everything.
Right.
I submitted my khaki pants quarterbacks and they didn't get to go up on the board. I guess only first rounders. So my Micah Parsons, Rashawn Slater, Patrick Surtain, those were the only three that got up on the board.
Well, the difference is that I did my own work.
Oh, good point.
I did my own artwork.
Good point. Maybe if, could I commission you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can put that up there. No problem.
Pay me like you paint all your French girls?
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
You can do the artwork?
Yes, I can do that. I can do that for you.
No Please
question.
Stop.
No question about it. I would love to paint you.
Oh, yeah. Something tells me that would be more like a caricature type thing.
You would look like a cherub.
Big head.
You do kind of
small
have a baby.
Body.
You kind of have a baby body.
You'd probably paint me like Stewie.
If the shoe fits.
I'd be Stewie. That's what I would get. Yeah, did you hear? I'm innocently enough yesterday. I'm testing our equipment so that we can do remote broadcasting because our draft coverage is second to none and everybody gets involved in it. So this allows us to, beyond our normal shift here in the morning, to still be able to pop on with high broadcast quality.
Right.
On the other shows and still be part of the draft. So I'm testing out the equipment from my house.
Oh, I heard.
And so, Richie says, hey, you just want to listen to the show for a little bit? You know, just make sure you're getting it, okay? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I'm just sitting there. And immediately they come back on. And D-Max starts talking about me because I live in his head rent-free. And Richie goes, you want to pop on? I'm like, sure. And then I just got yelled at, shouted down by D-Max for the next 5 minutes. Wasn't allowed to make any points. You were listening.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you?
First and foremost, I'm going to text Kyle Shanahan and go, dude, sir, I'm going to say two things. One, I'm going to be like, if I never see you after Sunday again, this has been really good knowing you since you were a kid.
What a comment. We have to explore that one.
Yeah.
Again. We'll get that in the morning brew.
It's just been good knowing you. I've really enjoyed, you know, developing a relationship, you know, since you were our ball boy, in your post ball boy career. So that's good. The other thing is, please, for the love of Pete, do not add fuel to D-Max fire, which you totally did.
Yeah.
You totally made, like, so all these guys, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, all these guys, all they do is lie during this time of year about a bunch of crap. And now the one thing they've been telling the truth about is, oh yeah, we went up there with no idea who we were going to, or Kyle had an idea who they were going to take, but no idea who they were going to take. They did not move from 12 to 3 because they didn't have any idea and any of the quarterbacks would have sufficed. That did not happen. Now, could some in the organization have changed their mind? Or some in the organization didn't really have a preference or hadn't really studied it, and then when they moved up, said, okay, now let's grind into the everybody. Because I think they moved up specifically because Kyle Shanahan wanted one guy.
Well, John Lynch, I think, confirmed that yesterday when he said he's going to, quote, defer to Kyle Shanahan when it comes to making the pick.
Right.
Which tells me Kyle likes a particular guy. Other people in the organization will be allowed to make their pitches.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still going to be Kyle's pick, and Kyle's, you know, leaning or has already, in his mind, picked one guy.
Right. And by the way, well, we can get into this later, too. But the one guy who has been reported ready-made, you know, add water, mix, play, is Mac Jones.
Sure.
And now they're saying, you know, that Jimmy Garoppolo is available. If Jimmy Garoppolo is available, they didn't move up to get.
If we get past Sunday,
right?
He's
like an Incan god. Like he knows.
Yeah. You should You should text him and go.
Are you Incan?
Are you? Do you know something that we don't? Hashtag.
Yeah.
Inca.
Inca. Is this the? It's the
hashtag,
end of the world as we know it.
Hashtag Mayan calendar.
Hey, there's an REM song in there.
Okay.
All right.
We'll have Tim Hasselbeck will join us coming up at 7:15. from ESPN and FOS. We'll get his thoughts on the quarterback carousel as we get ready to get into it. But yeah, I want to make my case. I want to make my case why I have a particular khaki pants quarterback in mind and why you need to stay away from taking quarterbacks in the top 10. I'll make my case next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com. THMotors.com.
Morning Brew coming up at 6:30. Nuggets win. Boy, Michael Porter Jr. has just elevated
just
his game
off,
since Jamal
right?
Murray went down. We'll share those numbers with you. The Avalanche lose again, but before we start to get worried at all, I'm going to ease everybody's mind.
Oh, good.
There's the good, there's the bad news, and then there's much more good news
okay.
on the horizon. I'll tell you all about that coming up at 6:30. Mike Kliss joins us at 6:45. So, if the Broncos take a quarterback, that quarterback will be taken in the top 10. And Mark, there is a myth. It is a myth. There's just no other way to put it. This notion that if you need a quarterback, you have to take a quarterback in the first round, higher the better, because even though it's a crapshoot, it's proven that if you can find the right one, it changes the fortunes of your franchise. Mark, I don't think people realize how actually rare that is and why the numbers just don't bear it out. I went back and looked, last 20 years, here are the numbers. 34 quarterbacks have been taken in the top 10. Only 15 even finished with winning records. And by the way, when I talk about winning records, you know, Mitch Trubisky had a winning record. Anybody clamoring for him to be your
right.
you know, franchise guy that you spent a top 10 pick on? Who else had it? Vince Young had a winning record. Anybody clamoring for that here? No. Mark Sanchez had a winning record. Anybody want to say, oh, yeah, that's right. We had the Sanchez here.
Yes,
How'd that work out? So here, just a quick little numbers here for you. 34 quarterbacks taken in the top 10. Only 15 finished with winning records. Add them all up. Their winning percentage is 494, below 500.
Mm-hmm.
If you add them all up over the last 20 years. The average quarterback taken in the top 10 finishes with a record, a career record with the team that drafted him, 35-36. Playoffs. These quarterbacks that I'm talking about, 34 of them who've gone in the top 10 in the last 20 years have a combined record of 45-50 in the playoffs. 34 quarterbacks combining for 45 playoff wins. 8 of the 34 appeared in a championship game. 5 of the 34 appeared in a Super Bowl. 2 of the 34 won a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes and Eli Manning. That's the track record of these quarterbacks that got taken in the top 10. It's just not worth it, especially when you consider that to overdraft one of these guys, you are passing on a player at another position that has a much higher grade than the quarterback that you're selecting. And based on the way that the draft tends to work, as you always like to say, there are about 16 or 17 true blue chippers in the draft. You're passing on one of them.
Right. Here's one of the interesting things that I did a little research yesterday, Mike. So, because when I heard DMAC, and I was ready, but you couldn't get a word in edgewise. When you were telling him these facts about the top 10 picks, okay, well then tell me your third round. Well, Russell Wilson, they win 11, 12 games every year. Russell Wilson goes to the playoffs. Oh, by the way, he's won a Super Bowl. He was a third rounder. Oh, you want more third round? Nick Foles just won a Super Bowl a couple years ago. He was a third rounder. Jacoby Brissett was a third rounder. I mean, you can go on and on with the third round guys, and you know, some of them have success. I'm sure there are a lot that haven't. All right. That just off the top of my head. But check this out. All right. In the last 20 years, 49 total quarterbacks have been taken in the first round. 49 total quarterbacks in the first round. You know what their win percentage is? Of the 49 taken in the first round, not top 10, but the 49 taken in the first round, 516. Just a smidgen over 500. Okay? In the same 20-year span, you know how many quarterbacks have been taken in the second round? Half that. A little less than half that. 22. 22 quarterbacks taken in the second round. You know what their win percentage is? 516. Identical. You have every much as chance to win with a second round quarterback in the league than you do with a first round. And by the way, most of those second round quarterbacks are taken early in the second round to bad teams. They bypass on the, and then they, hey, we still need a quarterback. The Andy Daltons of the world, the Derek Carrs of the world, the guys that go in the second round because, hey, they're really good, but for whatever reason, late bloomers, only played a year, whatever the case may be, doesn't really matter. But it's the identical, in the last 20 years, the identical win percentage. And, oh, you say, well, maybe it wasn't a sample size. The 49 quarterbacks have started 3,636 games. The 22 quarterbacks have started 1,113 games. So from a sample size standpoint, Mike, it's pretty close.
So when Kristen Hudson says we get that you hate first round quarterbacks, but let's hear the stats on rounds 2 through 4, which you're clamoring for. Well, there you go. There's just a
part round of it. Two right there.
There's round two. What bugs me about, you know, DMAC is always like, well, you know, you liked Kyle LaLetta. Well, okay. Kyle LaLetta was a bust. Sure. Okay.
Didn't cost you anything.
Right. You know, his problem is that he equates a second or a third round miss the same as a first round miss. That they're equal. No, they're not.
Right. Not even close.
You miss in the first round, it is much more magnified. Much more magnified than if you miss on a second round or a third round. So stop right there with that silly argument. And just look at the and why is this so important? Because if the Broncos take a quarterback in the top 10, this is the history of what you're dealing with.
Right.
Now, if they end up picking a quarterback in the top 10, I will be my first comments will be, hey, welcome to Denver, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. I hope that you're able to be the outlier.
Right.
I hope that you can beat the odds. I'll root for you. And I'll hope that you can end up being one of those rare, rare finds.
DMAC is right about one thing. And he nailed this. And it's his quarterback philosophy as well as bad franchise quarterback philosophy. They have FOMO, fear of missing out. I'll draft a quarterback because I don't want to be the one that doesn't draft a quarterback and then that quarterback go on to be Josh Allen and have great success. But we will ignore the fact that Josh Rosen is bounced around to his fourth team, that Sam Darnold just got traded for nothing. Like, we'll forget that, right? Paxton Lynch is gone.
No.
Something better is going to come along.
Don't worry, Benny. But it's early.
They'll forget about that because it's this fear of missing out. And if you're motivated by fear of missing out, then you're not a good franchise. You're just not a good franchise. You know, the bottom line is if you miss on a first-round quarterback, you know why that's more costly? Because the guy that you could have taken him in the top 10 could be a franchise type of player. But your fear is, well, but what if we, you know, again, it's just this perpetual, let's kick the can down the road. It's not our fault. You know, it's the coach's fault. It's we don't have to take responsibility. It's everybody else's fault. The quarterback didn't work out. Sam Darnold didn't work out. We'll get Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson doesn't work out because we don't support him. We'll go get the next guy and then the next guy and then the next guy. And that's how you become a franchise for 25 years that is garbage.
Real quick, somebody sent me a photo of a 2011 Sports Illustrated NFL draft preview. Had on the cover pictures of Cam Newton, Jake Locker, and Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
With the headline, the 2011 QB class, you choose Jake Locker, Cam Newton, Blaine Gabbert, toughest call in football.
Hey, Blaine Gabbert won a championship last year.
Oh, my Lord. Okay.
And
I love the people on the text line are like, I know this, so I'm already aware of this. Why are you talking about?
Well, all we've been talking about for the last several weeks is the wish that so many of you have for the Broncos to take a quarterback and even move up for a quarterback in the top 10. I think you need to be armed with all the facts while you go calling for this. Morning Brew, coming up next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Well, my work is done here.
What do you mean your work is done? You didn't do anything.
Didn't I?
Jeff Breidich has fulfilled his evil plan.
Yes, yes.
Wrecked the franchise and then left. What? If you had any inkling that either he was prepared to step down or he got resigned, meaning you basically fired him and you made it look like he, gave him the soft fall of being able to say he resigned. If you had any intention or any inkling either way that this was going to happen, why was he allowed to make the Nolan Arenado deal? And then just a couple of months later, leave?
Did he make the Nolan Arenado deal?
Say Dick Monfort ordered the code red?
Yeah. Ask. I'm not saying, I'm just asking. Did he really make the deal?
Is that your belief? When you say, hey, Jeff Breidich, we need to move on from Nolan Arenado. Make the best deal you can, whatever it takes. And then Breidich went out and did all the work, but it was ordered by Monfort?
Right, I think it was an organizational mandate. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's some more organizational mandates down the pike after, I mean.
Well, here's what we're going to know. You know what?
What?
Okay, here's the answer to your question. If we actually see Dick Monfort go out and do an exhaustive search and actually bring in somebody to run this franchise from another franchise, that will tell me that he's prepared to give somebody else control. If it is just simply all promoted from within, then yeah, that I think that lends a lot of credence to the idea that, everyone is just simply, his puppet.
And then I'm in charge, that I'm really running the show. If you just continue to go within, you need fresh eyes, fresh blood. By the way, there was a moment of silence across Major League Baseball yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Breidich was gone. I mean, it's like why didn't throw some Tupperware and say a couple of cases of Gatorade and get a really good player?
What did one NL West executive quoted off the record as saying anonymously, saying, "We hope he never gets fired."
Yeah.
Jeez. Jeff Breidich. Gonna miss having a chance to kick you around. Next on the Morning Brew.
See you later.
Here's the windup. The pitch. Strike three called. A fastball to the inside corner about knee high. And that is the shutout. The second major league shutout for Anthony DeSclafani. And his second major league complete game.
Giants radio. And isn't it fitting on Jeff Breidich's last day? His prize acquisition in the Nolan Arenado deal, Austin Gomber, goes out at last an inning and two-thirds and gives up 7 hits and 9 runs in a 12-0 Rockies loss. And all along, I'm thinking about what Troy Rank said to us yesterday. He goes, I've never seen a team have a winning homestand and carry no momentum out onto the road with them.
He nailed it. And DeSclafani, 9 innings, 3 hits, 3 hitter he throws, 1 base on balls, 9 strikeouts. He absolutely dealt yesterday. And meanwhile, the Rockies are finishing the game with Fuentes throwing the last inning.
Oh, Lord. Next on the Morning Brew.
In the second half, we had 14 assists, only 1 turnover, which is really important against that team because when you turn the ball over, that just fuels their break. And we saw that last time we played them a few games ago. So a great defensive effort. You know, that team is tired. That's the 7th game in 11 days on a really long road trip. But overall, I thought our defense was on point tonight.
There is Michael Malone.
I can't forget when I'm in love anymore.
So he, what's Will Barton? Is Will Barton supposed to be back? I know the hammy is, well, they said foreseeable future. That was the quote. But problem with those basketball guys is their hamstrings are literally strings. You know, you get a football player, they're ham cords.
That's
even
right.
Ham ropes, maybe.
Right.
Right. They're thicker.
Right.
That's
I have like ham cables.
Yeah, ham cables. You guys have like ham, they have like ham sewing threads. Very, very skinny.
Michael Porter Jr., since Jamal Murray went down, averaging 26 points per game, 6.5 rebounds per game, 4.5 three-pointers per game. He's shooting 59% from the field, 54% from beyond the three-point arc, and the Nuggets are 6-1 since Murray went down. And I'm going to come at this from a different angle. I'm sure there are plenty of people out there saying, see, this is why Michael Malone should have played Michael Porter Jr. earlier. I actually look at it the other way. I think it's a complete endorsement of the way that he brought him along slowly to the point where when they did call upon him and gave him more responsibility, he was ready for it.
I think the other thing is at times that's a humiliating process when you think you should be playing and you're as a coach. I mean, that's your job as a coach, right? Is to say, hey, until you start doing X, Y, and Z, I'm not going to let you play. Until you do it the way I want it done. And there are a lot of those things. I've been a part of several of those lessons myself along the way, but I think it's obviously, you know what? You can't argue with the results. I mean, some people say, well, it should have been earlier. We'd have had this earlier. Yeah. You know what? I don't know. So
I think if you entitled the guy right from the start, yeah. I don't know if you're really helping him.
Hey, the bottom line is the way they've done it seems to be working, right?
Yep.
So I'm not going to question Michael Malone. One, because I just like Michael Malone. And I love it when Ben plays the song when I say Michael Malone.
And for those new to the show, we got so many people joining us. The reason we do that is because whenever we say Michael Malone, we just think of Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
Just kind of, I don't know. Just
there's a lot of dumb things that we do on a regular basis here. Yeah. Just enjoy the ride.
Just keep listening. Buckle up. All right, next on the Morning Brew.
We didn't compete at the level that St. Louis competed at in the first period. And, you know, didn't look like we had our brains turned on either. So, you know, that combination is a losing combination.
There's Avalanche coach Jared Bednar. You want the good news or the bad news? Let me give you the bad news. Bad news first is things have gotten very tight in the Western Division. The Avalanche now only a point ahead of Minnesota for the third seed.
Where are they in the all-important loss column, though?
Oh, God, I can't do that.
Okay.
In hockey. Here's what the most important. They don't have the loss column that matters, but the games played. The GP column. All right, the Avalanche.
They have any games in hand?
They have a game in hand with both Minnesota and Vegas, okay? So they're 4 points behind Vegas, and they're only 1 point ahead of Minnesota. Here is the good news.
Good news.
Their schedule is pillow soft down the stretch. 8 of their final 10 games are against San Jose and Los Angeles. Two of the top 10 worst teams in hockey. So they should feast on San Jose and Los Angeles and rack up a lot of points. Meanwhile, while that is going on, Vegas has a tougher schedule. Minnesota has a tougher schedule. Minnesota has several games against St. Louis and the Blues, as they just showed the last couple of nights against the Avalanche. They're not going to go quietly when it comes to trying to get back into the playoffs. And Vegas still has to play Arizona a couple times, Minnesota a couple times, St. Louis a couple times, and the Avs a couple of times. So the Avs, things have gotten tight, but the Avalanche schedule much, much easier compared to Vegas and Minnesota. There is your good news. There is the Morning Brew.
That is great news.
Bring it to you each and every morning at 6:30. 9 players, 9 names who could end up being Denver Broncos. Mike Kliss has them for you next. Mike Kliss is our 9 News Broncos insider. He's presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. And every year prior to the draft, he gives us 9, get it? 9 possible potential Denver Broncos who could be drafted over the course of the next few days. And Mike, good morning. I always love the list. And
Well, I don't work for Channel 31.
Right. Touché. Touché. Well
good,
done.
Good,
well done. So do you, how much thought do you put into these nine? Or is it your opinion or is it based on kind of some of the digging that you've done?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, nine's a lot for one pick, right? But I do think the pick is going to come out of that list. I think there's one. I could have stopped maybe with the three quarterbacks and say, let's go, George. Get that team of yours a quarterback. And I think that's what I don't know if rooting for that is the right word, but that would sure make things exciting if this team wound up with one of the top three. And then the rest are basically, you know, the one thing I've heard about the Broncos is with the number nine pick, you want to take one of the premium positions. You know, and those are the highest paid guys. So the left tackles, the cornerbacks, the quarterbacks, what's the fourth position? Left tackle, receiver, quarterback.
Yeah, receiver, corner, not, left tackle.
Not receiver?
Not receiver. Not for the Broncos. But cornerstone position. Left tackle, quarterback, corner.
Edge rusher. That's the fourth. You want to take one of those because for cost reasons, those are the most expensive positions. There's a reason why they're the most expensive positions. They're the most impactful positions. So at number nine, when you're picking at the top 10, you want one of those and you want that fifth year option control, with that player. So, I do think it'll come from, you know, one of those four positions that narrows it down some. And then you look at this team and almost everywhere, they've already got their starters in place. They need depth. Where's the one starter you want to try to really upgrade? And quarterback is probably the one. We'll see if George pulls it off. I think with the 49ers now putting Trey Lance into their evaluation, to their final decision, I think that's encouraging for the Broncos because I've said all along that Mac Jones is the quarterback of the next three that fits the Broncos the best because of Pat Shurmur and the offense he runs.
Do you think that any decision that the Broncos make at the quarterback position should be made with the idea of how it fits with Pat Shurmur? Should Pat Shurmur's presence have any bearing whatsoever on whether you draft or do not draft a quarterback or a particular type of quarterback?
Sure. I think it's
really for somebody who might be in many people's minds a lame duck coach?
Well, you never go into it as this guy's going to get fired in a year. You're going into it that this guy's going to draw up the plays and they're going to score 30 points this year. And they're going to get into some nice scoring matches with the Kansas City Chiefs. Pat Shurmur is the coach and you're paying him to be the coach and he is going to have input. And I think Pat Shurmur, you know, he did have some, Justin Fields, for instance, he did have some work with Chip Kelly with the Eagles. So he's worked with a different type of offense, the college offense. Mike Shula was the offensive coordinator from Cam Newton with Carolina for a bunch of years, including his MVP year 2015. So these guys do have some experience adapting, but for the type of offense they're running now and the West Coast that you prefer, Mac Jones, and plus the other guy is along the lines that you just pointed out, Mike, these guys do have to win now. They can't. That's why I'd be surprised if they go with Trey Lance, because Trey Lance does not figure to help a team in 2021. He could hit a home run starting in 2022, but Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur and Mike Shula and the whole coaching staff need to win in 2021. And Mac Jones appears to be the most pro-ready quarterback of the next three.
You know, we always talk about this being the lying season, and then the San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan come out and basically say, hey, we got five quarterbacks we like, and you know, on and on it goes, and which just throws a monkey wrench and gives DMAC, ammunition, which drives me nuts. But they obviously went up for one guy initially. Now, you know, they've expanded their study or whatever, but what does it do? What is it, if anything, what does it do to the Broncos and the way they approach the draft based upon the 49ers are keeping very close to the vest and basically saying we may take any one of these guys?
Well, one reason why it is an educated guess on the Broncos is because they have to react, first of all, to what the 49ers do. I mean, the 49ers are first. If they take Mac Jones, that, you know, maybe the Broncos don't take a quarterback at number nine. If the 49ers take Trey Lance, maybe the Broncos are in play for Mac Jones or Justin Fields. So the 49ers have great impact on the Broncos. They're six picks away, but the Broncos, I'm sure, have a quarterback that they like the best. And if the 49ers don't take that quarterback that the Broncos like the best, then, you know, George Payton reacts and he, you know, moves up to try to get his guy. I don't think he'll go all the way to four. I don't. Seven would make some sense because you probably wouldn't have to give up a future first round draft pick to go from nine to seven. But I think you make a move or you do what you can to see if you can get the quarterback you like if the 49ers don't take him.
Mike, real quick, I just want to get your thoughts on this very quickly, because if people don't know, long before you became a Broncos beat guy, you cut your teeth for years and years and years covering baseball, covering the Rockies. What's your take, real quick, on the Jeff Breidich resignation? And is Breidich the villain here, or is it maybe all Dick Montfort who is pulling all the strings, but, you know, it's guys like Breidich who catch the heat?
Well, I think it's, first of all, I think it's a good move to move on from Jeff Breidich. I mean, I think public relations matter. And with Jeff Breidich, there was so much dislike for him. You know, it started a couple of years ago when he picked on the reporters covering the team, saying they didn't know what they were talking about, that they're clueless and that he's the one that knows and no one else does. And that type of condescending arrogance really turned off the whole fan base. And then on top of that, he got sideways with Arenado, which was the biggest thing. And actually it was the second worst thing. The biggest thing is winning and losing, and they hadn't been winning. They stopped pitching, and I don't know if it's what's going on with Coors Field. He saw last night, it looks like this team's not going to win a game on the road this year. they can't figure it out. They can't figure out how Coors Field baseball 1 week to regular baseball the next week. That's no great sin, but it was time to move on. Let someone else with new ideas come in and give it a go. The new guy, unfortunately, is going to have to deal with the Coors Field factor all over again and learn some painful lessons.
Real quick, do you think they go outside the organization?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't with Fiesel.
Right.
And at least there's a buffer now between Montfort and the GM. There hadn't been that since Kelly McGregor passed away. But that's also, I thought, was a good move putting Fiesel at president. Now they have to get a GM that really understands the player development aspect of that Major League Baseball.
All right, Mike, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Liss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. A lot to unpack from that conversation. We'll do it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.